WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What's up, what's up, what's up, beautiful people? Oh man, is it Friday already? TGIF, hope you all are having a great way to close your week out. And, you know, what better way to do it than tuning into current sports today? Thank you for definitely all your loyal support. We really appreciate it. Folks, we have a fantastic show in store for you. We'll be chatting with, in just a moment, the newest head coach of the Lansing Eastern boys basketball team. Yes, Julius Edwards joins me on the show today. Well, I tell you, he's got some big shoes to fill with Rod Watts now leaving the program. We'll be chatting with him on how this all came about. And also, we'll talk a little Tigers as they now have won two straight. Mad Max is what they call him. Max Scherzer, he was fantastic yesterday afternoon. We'll talk about that. Also, Lions and so much more. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about the hiring of new MLB commish Rod Manfred? Was he the right guy? We'll be taking your calls on that. That's our hot button call-in topic. And how in the world do you improve the popularity of baseball right here in America? We'll chat about that and so much more. But as custom here on the show, here are your current sports quick hit headliners brought to you by Alex Sharp.
Good afternoon and happy Friday. I'm Alex Sharg and these are your current sports quick hit headliners for Friday, August 15th. Everybody seems to be taking the ice bucket challenge, from Detroit Lions coach Jim Caldwell to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, and Michigan State basketball coach Tom Izzo is following suit. The Ice Bucket Challenge is a social media campaign that raises money and awareness to fight ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Participants record a video of themselves getting a bucket of ice-cold water dumped on them, or they donate money to fight ALS. If they complete the challenge, the participant names three other people to take the challenge within the next 24 hours. Tom Izzo attended MSU football practice yesterday to complete the challenge, and he challenged good friend and former Lions coach Steve Mariucci, Rich Eisen, Deion Sanders, and Warren Sapp to the Ice Bucket Challenge. Ken Holland from the Red Wings is celebrating 20 years in Detroit with a new contract. The Red Wings announced a deal Thursday that will keep him as general manager through 2017-18. Holland joined the club in 1994 as an assistant general manager, and since taking over as Wings GM in July 1997, Holland has put together a team that has won more regular season games, 746, and postseason games than any other NHL team. The defending American League Cy Young champion, Max Scherzer, struck out 14 and gave the Tigers everything they could have asked for and more in a 5-2 win over the Pirates. 8 innings, no runs, 3 hits, 14 strikeouts, a final line the Tigers have only seen twice in their storied history. Mickey Lolich in 1970 was the previous Tiger to strike out 14 or more over 8 scoreless innings while allowing 3 hits or fewer. The Tigers have now won 2 straight and open a 3-game home series against the Seattle Mariners. It is a homecoming for former Tiger Austin Jackson. Rick Porcello takes the mound against James Paxton. Rob Manfred was elected baseball's 10th commissioner Thursday, winning a 3-man race to succeed Bud Selig and given a mandate to recapture young fans in speed play in an era that has seen competition increase and attention spans shrink. The 55-year-old Manfred, who has worked for Major League Baseball in roles with ever-increasing authority since 1998, will take over from the 80-year-old Selig on January 25th. It's a generational change, much like the NBA, when Adam Silver, then 51, replaced 71-year-old David Stern as commissioner in February. And Silver, like Manfred, was his boss's pick. Manfred beat out Boston Red Sox chairman Tom Werner in the first contested vote for a new commissioner in 46 years. The third candidate, MLB Executive Vice President of Business Tim Brosnan, withdrew just before the start of balloting. To the NFL, football expert Doug Farrar has his all-overrated teams out on SI.com. So the natural question is, how many Lions are on it? Just 2, actually. Brandon Pettigrew on offense and Nick Fairley on defense. Pettigrew has been one of the NFL's least efficient tight ends, according to Farrar, and he says that Joseph Faria and rookie Eric Ebron leave him, quote, in more of a blocking role. He better block well to meet the 4-year, $18 million contract the Lions gave him in March, end quote. As for Fairley, Farrar doesn't seem ready to give up on him just yet, despite recent weight issues. Farrar went on to write, quote, this is a potential breakout year for Fairley, but he's got to want it all the way through. If that happens, he's in line for a monster contract somewhere, end quote. In more NFL news, Johnny Football is in the headlines again. The quarterback was a few minutes late to team meeting on Monday morning and was reportedly fined by the team along with a few other rookies. According to the report, Manziel's tardiness played no part in the decision to start Brian Hoyer in the Browns' second preseason game on Monday. As expected, NASCAR driver Tony Stewart will not race this weekend at Michigan International Speedway. Stewart also sat out last weekend's race at Watkins Glen International, a day after he struck and killed Kevin Ward Jr. during a race in upstate New York. Stewart, who won championships back in 2012, 2005, and 2011, initially indicated he would race last Sunday, but he has now decided to sit out. Jeff Burton replaces Stewart at MIS. And finally, in the NBA, head coach of USA Basketball Mike Krzyzewski was surprised that All-Star Kevin Durant withdrew from the team due to physical and mental fatigue. Coach K said after the team's practice on Thursday, quote, "It's one of those things, you don't replace Kevin Durant, you look different. And so we have today and Friday to look different before we play a really good team. That's of concern for me because we were pretty far along. We had our best camp ever in Vegas since I coached Team USA," end quote. Durant withdrew his name days back, citing that he needs to focus for the NBA season. This comes days after star Paul George had a season-ending injury during a training game. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Friday, August 15th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. Lines are now open.
Hey, 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 now, good people. Hey, thanks a lot, Alex, for bringing those current sports quick hit headliners. And thank you guys for tuning in to today's current sports. As you just heard, our phone lines are now open. If you want to call in and embrace the debate about anything that we talk about here on the show, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. And, just some other headliners here that are definitely notable in the world of sports right now. The Lions are back in action. Yes, their second preseason game takes place tonight at 10 p.m. against the Raiders. Yeah, they're on the West Coast. So, that's a little later start than usual. Again, that's 10 p.m. our time. Lions and Raiders. Definitely tune in for that. Also, there has been a new NASCAR rule change. This comes right after this whole Tony Stewart and Kevin Ward Jr. situation. Of course, Tony Stewart involved in just a really misfortunate accident hitting Kevin Ward Jr., a 20-year-old racer, not too long ago, and ending his life. NASCAR now has decided to implement a rule prohibiting drivers from exiting their cars after on-track incidents unless, quote, extenuating circumstances exist, end quote. Now, NASCAR Vice President Robin Pemberton, he announced that today, this morning. Now, the new rule states that if cars involved in an on-track incident are unable to make forward progress, drivers must shut off electrical power, lower the window net, and then wait without removing any personal safety equipment until safety personnel or a NASCAR official arrives on the scene. Now, the NASCAR rule, again, states that at no time should a driver or crew member approach any portion of the racing surface or apron or approach another moving vehicle. Now, extenuating circumstances that they talk about in this rule include fire, smoke in the cockpit, etc. You know, a situation where if you're trapped in a car and you need to get out because it's, a life-threatening situation, then you may do so. But at no other point may you exit your vehicle into ongoing traffic during a race. I love the rule change. It's certainly, certainly long overdue. This rule change should have been, this should have happened years and years and decades ago. After Stewart clipped Ward's car sitting into spinning, Ward got out of his car during that caution period, walked into the track. That's when he was hit by Tony Stewart's car. And also, Tony Stewart will not be racing at MIS this weekend. He has decided to pull out, and he's gone on to say that he is, dealing with the grieving process right now because he also, it was a traumatic experience for also Tony going through it as well. So he decided to withdraw from MIS. We're not sure when he is going to return to racing, but he will not be racing at Michigan International Speedway this weekend. So that's an update there. NASCAR decided to implement that rule change. MIS will be the first time that they get to test it out. So I'm pretty sure you won't be seeing anyone, any driver or crew pit member entering the racing asphalt this weekend. So definitely a rule that is certainly long overdue. And also, Paul George will be addressing the media today. Paul George, of course, was helpful to make that USA men's basketball team, national basketball team, but suffered that just gruesome injury during the that exhibition game in which his foot caught the backstop of the basket. And, you know, just it was really gruesome. I mean, his leg twisted, his right leg twisted, and it looks as though this injury will take a little over a year to heal. So he will be addressing the media today to talk about his health and when he is expected to return and about that horrific moment. I mean, it was one of the most gruesome basketball injuries I have ever seen. And, you know, there's got to be some bad voodoo on this USA men's national basketball team, because this week, if you remember, if you've been following this team at all, DeMarcus Cousins, who you know, is supposed to be a big primetime player for this USA team, he suffered an injury in practice this week, and in which he twisted his right knee. You know, he went down pretty hard, and you know, he actually got an examined, and there seems to be good news here. No structural damage has been found to DeMarcus Cousins' right knee. So he'll be evaluated further, and we'll see if he returns to the hardwood soon. But, you know, there's nothing serious here. He didn't tear an ACL or MCL or anything of that matter. They found no structural damage, and it looks as though he is going to be fine. So so those are some other headliners that certainly made headways. And how about the new hiring of MLB commissioner? He now becomes the 10th MLB commissioner, Rob Manfred. A big, big hire. And, you know, that's our current sports hot button call-in topic today. What do you think of the hire of the new MLB commish? And, you know, it's really interesting, because looking at this hire and how news broke about this yesterday, you know, Rob was apparently asked about how does he improve the game of baseball over time. You know, him being the new commish, I mean, you know, he has keys to the car now. He's right in the driver's seat now, and he has the ability to pull certain strings and to really, you know, try to take baseball to another level, or to get back to the level it was back in the day, where it was arguably America's number one sport. I mean, it's referred to as America's pastime, for goodness sake. And, you know, if you look at the average attendance right now for baseball, it's at about 30,500 people. Now, it's not far below the record of 32,785 that was set back in 2007, before the Great Recession, of course. National television ratings, if you look at it for the World Series, get this, folks, they have dropped by more than 50% under previous commissioner Bud Selig. Now, this is partly because of, you know, fractured viewing caused by the vast increase in available networks, the competition with the NFL now, the NBA is on a steady rise. I mean, there's a lot of factors that weigh in on this. And also, even, you know, I've definitely seen many people even, you know, debate about the time in which the World Series start. I mean, if you want to attract the youth, if you want to attract those, you know, 10, 11, 12, you know, year-olds and so on and so forth, if you want to grab their attention, you got to make sure they're up to watch the games in the first place. I mean, the World Series happens around the same time the school starts. Kids have to get to bed early to get up for school. I mean, some of these games last until like 11, you know, midnight, 1 in the morning sometimes, depending on how the game goes. So I've even heard proposals of possibly starting the game at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, just earlier, so that, you know, kids can see the game and get exposed to it. You know, interesting comment from San Francisco Giants president Larry Bayer. He said, quote, "We have to figure out ways to make it relevant to that 12-year-old. I have 4 children, and we want to make baseball as relevant as possible to them with their handheld and on television and getting more people playing the sport. Those are all big challenges, and I think Rob sees all of those in his purview, and I think he's ready to attack." Again, that's comments from San Francisco Giants president Larry Bayer on the hiring of Rob Manfred and what exactly he thinks the future of baseball is in Rob's hands. So again, it's our hot button call-in topic. Do you like the hire of new MLB commish Rob Manfred? And how in the world do you improve the popularity of baseball right here in America today? Because the proof is in the pudding. The numbers show that kids aren't playing and kids aren't watching. How do you target that demographic and get them to tune in to reverse this unfortunate trend? Again, our number is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. All right, without further ado, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. I am certainly excited to have him on the show, on the show. You know, he's got some big shoes to fill now Rod Watts, who, of course, was a household name when you talk about high school basketball right here in the Lansing area. Rod Watts, of course, we had Rod on the show. He has now moved on to a different area and will be coaching closer to the Metro Detroit area now. And, you know, the buzz around the area was you know, exactly who was going to replace Rob. So, if you've been following Current Sports throughout the past few weeks and just following sports media in general throughout these past few weeks, you know that Julius Edwards is now that man. Yes, Julius Edwards will be now the head coach of the Lansing Eastern boys basketball team. And guess what, folks? He joins me here on today's show to talk about how this news all came about. Julius, how you doing, my man?
There, sir.
Very, very well. First of all, definitely thank you for taking the time out your day to join me on the show. You know, now looking at this whole thing, Julius, first of all, how did you get the job?
To be honest with you, I don't really know.
Really?
But, you know, I'm just kidding. You know, what I think, what you said there, you know, right before I joined, you said Rod Watts, you know, he left. What he left behind was a program, and I've been a part of that program for going on close to 5 years now, and you know, it's kind of a thing, it's the next man up, and there's some things I want to continue to do with the program, and there's some things I want to add to that program, so you know, it's kind of a next man up type of mentality, and I think I'm, you know, the man that they thought could do a good job of continuing that program that had been established by Rod Watts.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, you talked about being under the tender of Rod Watts, of course, you being an assistant for him for some time. What did you learn under Rod, and has he reached out with any advice upon hearing of your hiring?
Yeah, I talked to Rod quite a bit. You know, he's always there to help me. You know, it's been a culture established, and that, and what we're doing here is not necessarily coaching basketball. We're doing more than that. We're building young men up and trying to prepare them for the next phase of their life. And you know, he kind of, you know, he gives me advice on things about what's necessary to prepare them in a proper fashion. You know, and the way we look at things is that athletics are a microcosm of real life. And like I said, we're preparing these guys for the next phase of their life. So, you know, the things that we try to bring to the table and kind of encourage is hard work. You know, you got to have a good attitude. You got to be disciplined. And you got to be involved in your community. And I think those are the things that are important to have success in life in general, as opposed in athletics.
Yeah, that is so true. You know, Julius, what made Rod such a special coach in your eyes?
For me, I just think it was his dedication and his commitment to the young men. There was nothing he wouldn't do for those young men. You know, if anybody's familiar with the situation, everybody knew that, you know, he was driving to Jackson and then driving to Lansing and then having to drive back to the Detroit area afterwards. You know?
Yeah.
Not very many people with that type of commitment. And in between that, you know, he's willing to help kids out, you know, even in between that tough drive. So he was just totally committed to those young men.
When you found out that he would be leaving the program soon, did you see this? Did you foresee this coming at all? And, you know, how much did it surprise you? Or did it surprise you at all that, you know, Rod decided to go down to the Metro Detroit area and take his talents there?
Well, it was a little bit of a surprise, but, you know, I can tell the type of toll it was taking on him, you know, to travel to a certain extent. And the lost time with his family, you know, his son is getting older. And he's in high school now. He's playing basketball. You know, you want to have that opportunity to, you know, coach young men, but also be involved in your family still. And, you know, that winter we had last year,
yeah,
having to drive an hour after each game, you know, it's pretty tough. But, you know, as far as him leaving, you know, he has a tremendous amount of love for this area. You know, he grew up there and, you know, he has a tremendous amount of love for the Lansing Eastern community. So, you know, it was really difficult for him. So it was a surprise, and you know, from that standpoint. But, you know, you could tell it's a lot to ask to do that type of traveling, you know, and still be involved with your family.
That is certainly true. And trust me, I know, Julius, I tell you, being from Detroit and constantly making that drive, you know, to see my family when I can, it certainly takes a toll. He was doing that, you know, for practices and games. I mean, that was truly, truly remarkable
yeah,
stuff.
I'm from Detroit too, so I know what that drive can be like.
Right, exactly. And you mentioned that winner. Oh my goodness, folks! All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the newest head coach for the Lansing Eastern boys basketball team, Julius Edwards. So, you know, Julius, again, you know, being under Rod for that time, and learn, getting a chance to learn from him as well. I mean, you know, of course, every coach has their own way of doing things and has their own mantra, if you will. What sort of things, you know, little things that are you going to take from Rod's coaching style and the way and what he brought to the program, and what are you going to do to differentiate yourself from Rod's style to make it your own, really?
Well, my style is a little bit different. And for the people that know Rod Watts, he can be pretty intense,
right,
on those sidelines. You know, I'm intense, but only to a certain extent. I'm pretty laid back on the sidelines, or I try to be. In practice, I'm going to be just as intense, and I'm going to make sure that we get the most out of our kids. You know, there's other things I want to add. You know, I want to pick up some more, you know, family involvement in our program, continue that high achievement in the classroom, but even push that harder to get our kids to achieve higher in the classroom so they can prepare themselves better once they leave here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but in terms of personalities, our personality is just a little bit different. You know, I'm a little bit more laid back. You know, I use my, comedy as a little bit kind of a, you know, to break the ice, you
right,
know, sometimes. So, you know, my personality is a little bit different, but in terms of things that we're going to stress, it's not going to be much different. Because like I said, I believe in what he believes in. And even when he was here, it wasn't necessarily the Rod Watts approach. It was more of a team oriented approach. You know, he kind of took the input of all the coaches. So, you know, in terms of what we're stressing, hard work, family, high achievement, going to be the same.
So I won't look on the sidelines this season and see you, Julius, breaking any clipboards anytime soon. Then,
yeah. I'm not gonna go that far. You might see that.
Gotcha. Oh, but that's hilarious. And I tell you, Rod was certainly intense. You know, covering him since the time he was around this area. I tell you. All right, now Edwards. You know, when you look at it, you coach young athletes in the Lansing area Premier Girls AAU program, where your teams won championships and also qualified in state and national tournaments. What's the difference? What's the biggest difference when you look into coaching boys compared to girls basketball?
Well, girls, I think the moment you walk in, there's kind of an attitude to try to please you.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to boys is kind of you better show me what you got and prove yourself to me before I buy into what you're telling me.
Ah,
the girls
gotcha.
Are going to wait a little bit longer before they kind of go on their own road. Girls, they're the same way. If they kind of get a feeling that you don't know what you're doing or you're not committed to them, then they'll kind of fall off thereafter. But mm-hmm. the boys, they want to see that up front before they kind of commit and buy in. So that's the biggest difference I see.
When you look at the team that you now inherit, Julius, what type of team are you inheriting and how good do you think you guys will be this upcoming year?
I think we'll have a chance because, like I said, I always say you have a chance when you're willing to put in the hard work. And what we have coming back is we have great leadership coming back. We lost quite a bit from a talent standpoint and a leadership standpoint. Anytime you lose, I think, in my eyes, four college-type players, you know, you got Tyrone Maxwell, you know, he's going on to play college basketball. You got Cameron Williams-Baker. He chose not to pursue college basketball, but I thought he was a college-type athlete. And you got DeQuandre Dentman, which I think he was Division I talent. You know, he's going to play in junior college, but he's definitely a Division I talent. So right now we have coming back great leadership. When I say that, we have E.J. Jackson coming back. He's been this will be his third year as a varsity player, and we got Dontre Garrett. This will be his third year as a varsity player. And with those guys, you get strong character. They're great. They're great, and they're committed, and they're strong in the classroom. So that kind of filters down to the rest of the guys, you know, when you have leaders like that. So I think we'll be okay. I mean, I never like to say what you're going to do in terms of wins and losses, but I always say if you put in the work and you're committed to it, you have a chance. And that's all we're asking for is a chance.
Julius, when you've chatted with those leaders who are becoming great representatives for the program, I mean, have they established any goals for themselves in this team? Have they voiced that at all, you know, winning a league title or winning a state championship? I mean, where are their expectations individually?
Well, our goal is always to win that state championship.
Exactly.
Although we don't put wins and losses on it, our goals are to win a state championship because at the end of the day, when you start that state tournament, your wins and losses start over. But to get to a state championship, you got to establish goals going forward. So, you know, our first goal is going to be to win that CAAAC championship, and then it's going to win a district championship, and then a regional championship, and then from there anything can happen. So, You know, that's how we kind of establish things. We try to take one goal at a time, and once you reach those smaller goals, you get to the bigger goal.
Certainly excited. I know we're some months away from hoop season, but, you know, I'm certainly excited to see how this program certainly unfolds, you know, this upcoming year. Exciting stuff. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on the show, we are talking with the new head coach of the Lansing Eastern boys basketball team, Julius Edwards. So, you know, Julius, we've had first-year coaches on the show here before, and I love asking this question because you kind of get to dive into their mindset, into embracing a new role. Because, you know, for a first-year coach, I mean, can be a lot of eyes on you, especially when you're inheriting a role from a man who, again, was a household name in Lansing hoops. Are you feeling any pressure in your first year?
I think pressure is kind of felt when you don't prepare properly, and everything we're going to do as a program is prepare properly. We're going to put in the work. We're going to put in the time. We're going to have community involvement and have people behind us. And, you know, when people understand what you're doing and what you're trying to do and they're involved, I think they're more willing to support you in there when you're in the, you know, the tough times and the ups and downs. So that's kind of what we're building right now. And I think I have a lot of support from the people that are around. And we have some great kids, some great parents, and we got great leadership over at Eastern with Donna Poe and Joe Mendez. So I think you know, we'll be okay.
And you talk about that community involvement, Julius. I mean, what type of things do you guys have planned to get the community involved in and to give back, if you will, while also doing what you got to do on the hardwood?
Oh, we're definitely going to schedule some regular. We're definitely going to have some regularly scheduled community service things that we do.
That's fantastic.
Right now, I think the one that we have targeted right now is the Capital Area. I think it's the marathon that's coming up here in September.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to have some of our guys out there, you know, helping out with that. The other thing I think is really important is you kind of see what's going on with your community. So I think we're going to do some things in terms of with the homeless and whatnot. So I've yet to determine exactly what we're going to do in that area, but we're definitely going to do that. So there's some good things we're going to do because I think you to grow as a person, you got to understand how important your community is to that. So I want to get them out there as much as possible.
You know, I think that's so unique, Julius, because, you know, we've had, you know, high school coaches on the show numerous times before. And, you know, we've never really dove into, you know, how big, you know, it is to teach, you know, not as a coach, you know, how important it is to give back and to be involved in those philanthropic endeavors. I mean, how has that become so near and dear to your heart? And why do you think that's so important for a team to do those type of things?
For me, like I told you, I grew up in Detroit, and growing up in Detroit, you get exposed to a lot of things. There's certain things that are good and certain things that are not bad or are not good. And, you know, for me, getting into coaching, that was one of my main reasons was to help out young men. And I think in order to grow as a young man, you have to be involved in your community. So, you know, my family, we have a strong history in social work and social services of being, you know, working in the community. And I want to bring that to these kids to kind of, you know, take pride in your community, you know.
Yeah.
It's really important to me. You got to take pride in your community, where you come from, and give back to it because it gives a lot to you.
That is so cool. I love that, Julia. Such a great, great message. All right, before I get you out of here, man, what type of identity do you want this Quakers team to have?
We're not going to lay down for anybody. We're going to work harder than anybody, and we're going to be a family. We want to sell family and hard work and a positive attitude and discipline. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We want to work hard, have fun, and be disciplined and have a family atmosphere. Because I think when you have a family atmosphere, you're more willing to get that extra effort for the guy next to you. You're not so concerned about what you're going to do individually. And when you give, you're willing to give that extra effort to your teammate, it only helps you out. There's a saying that goes, you know, if you help the man to your right and you help your man to your left, the one that benefits the most is the one in the middle. And I truly believe that.
That is so true. All right, Julius. Well, I tell you what, you're inheriting a very special program, and I'm definitely sure that the community around this area will certainly embrace you and this team. And, you know, as far as that goes, what type of response have you been hearing upon your hiring? Are people excited about it?
Yeah, I had a lot of positive responses because I think for me to be successful, I got to have that support. It's definitely not me doing it on my own because, like I said, we're going to have a program here. So, you know, I got a lot of support of people saying we want to help out. I got MSU professors saying they want to help tutor our students. So, we have parents from former players that saying they want to help out with concessions and providing food and things like that to our kids. So, got a lot of support around here. Real positive has been the feedback that I've gotten. So, I'm really excited about it.
Well, I tell you what, all of us here at Current Sports and WKR wish you the best, and looking forward to meeting you in person and seeing you on the sidelines, Julius. It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot for joining me.
All right, thanks for having me.
Again, Julius Edwards, the new head coach of the Lansing Eastern boys basketball team. Exciting stuff. All right, let's hit the break. When we come back, again, we are taking your calls. What do you think about the new MLB hire of Rob Manfred as the new MLB commish? And how in the world do you improve the popularity of baseball? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Don't touch that dial. Hey, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Friday, Alex Shar calls it Funky Friday. Is that the SOS band?
It is the SOS band.
Oh, man. I tell you what, I wish you could just play that the entire hour. That's one of my favorite old school jams right there.
More of a funky throwback Friday.
That's hot stuff. SOS band, one of the greatest bands in all of the land, I tell you. They're great stuff. All right. Well, Alex, I tell you what, talking to Julius Edwards, he seems to have a very even keel head on his shoulder. I think they made a great hire, you know, just chatting with him here on the show. I mean, I'm excited to see what he brings to this team and to see how successful they're going to be. But he seemed like a very, very intelligent, fully focused type of guy.
Yeah, the focus is there and giving tribute to the guys before him, not forgetting where he was before and the position they left him in. So obviously a guy that gives credit like that has his head on his shoulders for sure, Al.
Yeah, again, Julius Edwards, the newest head coach for the Lansing Eastern boys basketball team. I tell you, it's a lot of history with that program, too. I mean, going to Don Johnson Fieldhouse, I mean, that venue alone, if those walls could talk, I mean, many wars have been fought in that venue. But it's going to be a fun season, I tell you. But, hey, we still got to get through football. I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. But congratulations to Julius. Looking forward to seeing what he brings to the program. Again, folks, our hot button call-in topic for today's Current Sports centers on baseball. And the hiring of new MLB commissioner, he becomes the 10th MLB commissioner, Rob Manfred is his name. What do you think about the hire? And, you know, on the brink of his hiring, there's been a lot of talk about where Rob is going to take baseball. You know, again, he has the keys to the car now. He is in the driver's seat. He's the man in charge of, you know, that makes the final decisions on promotions, on, you know, game times, all of that stuff. How in the world do you think Rob Manfred should go about improving the game and popularity of baseball right here in America? Because right now, again, I read some stats at the beginning of the show. It's really alarming right now. Again, national TV ratings for the World Series, they have dropped more than 50% under Bud Selig. I mean, it's really, really alarming stuff. The youth aren't playing baseball like they were back in the day. You know, we had a segment, I remember last summer, on the lack of popularity when it comes to the African-American community in baseball. People, the youth just isn't playing the game right now. How do you fix that? I mean, it's a very big, vast question, I know, but I would love to get your thoughts on it. Again, our number is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also tweet me at Al Martin WKR and even leave a Facebook comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. I mean, how it is a big question, Alex. How do you go about doing that, though? Because it's really a reality. I mean, when I go back to Detroit, you rarely see kids out, let alone outdoors, you know, playing any type of physical activity. But if they are, they're usually at a park playing a pickup basketball game. They're usually, you know, just doing something other than going to a baseball diamond with some bats and your friends and playing the game of baseball. You rarely see that, if any.
Yeah, and we talked about maybe improvements to the home run derby improving the popularity of Major League Baseball. But alone, you have pickup baseball, and it's so hard to tell because, you know, we're not their age back in the digital generation. So it's different for us who grew up in the 1990s and or even early 2000s. So it's a whole different world today with technology, and you'll find a kid playing MLB on his Xbox compared to playing MLB outside.
Right.
So, yeah, and I agree, and I really don't know what the answer is. Maybe there's some way to to link up technology with outdoor baseball. I don't know how that would work or maybe what specific areas that would go into. Maybe making your own replay outside. I don't know, Al.
Yeah, it's certainly it's a very, very wide open question. I think from the very, you know, looking at it on its surface, I mean, first of all, I think the cost of to play the game, because when you look at basketball, all you need is a basketball and a rim. That's it. I mean, that is all you need. When it comes to baseball, the cost of equipment like the mitts, the bats, you know, that type of thing, and then the fact that you need, you know, you at the least need about 10 guys to play baseball.
Well, that's a lot.
You know, it's a lot, you know? Something with basketball, you can play basketball by yourself in the backyard, yeah. You know? So it's, and, you know, with football, you know, that's another different
realm as
well.
But unless you're living in an inner city, Al, it's not that easy to call, you know, 20 guys and say, hey, let's go play some baseball.
Right, exactly.
Let alone five or four.
Yeah, yeah. It certainly is.
At least with basketball, you go with a buddy, or you got a pickup game there, but
you can even play by yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's not like you can go to the gym and play baseball. I mean, you got to get an open field. There are tons of different fields.
Right.
A lot of times the fields are taken up by a lot of extracurricular activities. So maybe that's the reason, is that a lot of baseball fields today are taken up by leagues. So that could be a possibility too.
Or just simply not being kept up at all, because I've definitely seen that where I'm from. So we have a caller who wants to weigh in on it right now. Camille, how you doing, Camille? Welcome to Current Sports.
How you guys doing?
Very, very well.
I wanted to say two things.
Yeah.
One thing I just wanted to say was thanks for those tickets, because my daughter is going to college, and that was the last thing we got to do together.
Oh, wow.
Before school started for her, and we really enjoyed that.
That's great. So you enjoyed yourself at the game yesterday?
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was the greatest.
Oh, that well, folks, if you don't know, Camille, we had our ticket giveaway at the beginning of the week, and Camille, you know, was the winner of our ticket giveaway for two Lansing Lugnuts tickets for Thirsty Thursday, I believe it was last night. So I'm glad you enjoyed yourself, Camille.
Yeah, we did. And the other thing that I wanted to say, as far as, like, I don't know about, like, getting the kids active in it, but, like, for me, baseball, the season is just far too long. Like, the teams play against each other, like, so many times, like, in the basketball season, until we get to, like, the championship, it's like a one and done. The best person just win. But in baseball, it's like, okay, I beat you. But then, I mean, you get, like, four other chances or three other chances. And
right.
So, to me, like, it's like if you, like, cut it down and it's just one and done, a team play each other, and then it's over. To me, it would be far more interesting. I mean, that's just...
So you think they should cut the number of games from triple digits maybe to double digits then?
Right.
Gotcha. Hey, thanks a lot, Camille. We appreciate the call.
Yep, no problem. Talk to you guys later.
Yeah, and I've heard that complaint too, Alex. I mean, that a baseball season is just far too long, far too exhausting, far too much to keep up with. I mean, you play fantasy baseball, Alex. I played fantasy baseball 1 year. And I almost lost my mind just because the season, I mean, you gotta constantly make all of these changes. And if you fall asleep one, you know, or 2 days, or if you're out of town and can't get to a, you know, internet connection to update your roster, hey, you're losing. So it definitely is certainly elongated. And I think it is, I wouldn't be opposed to chopping it down a little bit.
Sure. Back in 2011, Joe Torre, famous Yankees manager, was asked about what he thought about the MLB season and if it was a bit long. Here's what he said. He said, quote, yeah, I think more that baseball is a game of life. You eliminate the highs and lows. I think people can tell you. You can see players. You see the people who travel more than you, and you see your family. It's one of those things that in other sports, maybe in the NFL, they put players in hotels because they do something because it's right before the game. I don't want to say matter of fact, but the fact of the matter is you've got to do this like showing up to the office every day. So I think that's probably what makes it different as opposed to telling guys they can't drink beer for 7 months. So not even that it's long, but the point is that they have no other lives outside the four off-season months. I mean, this isn't just a long season. This is their life. I mean, along with the game for themselves. I mean, imagine if you're a player. You're working out 3 hours before the game. Off-season, you got meetings. You're working 15 hours a day.
At least. Right, I agree. And you have if you're a baseball player, you have no time off at all. I mean, the time that, you know, that the season allows you to have, I mean, you're constantly in training. That's another thing, and that has to do with the long season. I mean, with a long season that spans over that amount of time, you really have no downtime to just sit back, relax, and chill out. So I definitely agree with that. So there's a lot of factors that weighs into this conversation. Again, you can call in 517-355-9527. You can also tweet me at AlMartinWKR and also even go to our Facebook page and leave a comment at facebook.com/currentsports. So, yeah, we'll definitely keep that conversation going throughout the final 20 minutes of the show. But, Alex, I have to bring up this. As you said in our quick hit headliners, you know, an interesting poll that was taken by Sports Illustrated, Doug Farrar. He released his all overrated teams. He does this every single year. And I tell you what, you know, I think he was dead on with at least one of these. I don't agree with him with the other one, but on one of these, he was definitely dead on.
Pettigrew?
That, of course, being Brandon Pettigrew. Brandon Pettigrew, there were two Lions named on Doug's all overrated team list, that being Brandon Pettigrew on the offense and Nick Fairley on the defense. Now, again, Pettigrew, he's in my eyes, Alex, Pettigrew has been just terrible. His contract is totally overrated. 4 years, $18 million. He's got a lot of pressure on him this season as well, looking at how Eric Ebron and Joseph Fourier, you already got, you know, with them drafting Eric Ebron, when you already had Joseph Fourier, who had a breakout year last season and really already put some pressure on Brandon Pettigrew to really be efficient. Then they go out and draft Eric Ebron, basically sending a message that, Brandon, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Maybe the fact that you got some competition will kind of push you to become a better player. But if you already look at it, he's got a four-year, $18 million contract already that took place in March. So I don't know where the thinking is there. Brandon Pettigrew, he's a guy who drops way too many passes. We've seen him fumble multiple times last year. I don't know how in the world he got that contract.
Well, maybe instead of overrated, maybe he's overvalued. Maybe the yards and the reception.
But Same thing.
But, you know, we talk about this all the time. I hate these overrated and all these pre-player rankings and pre-player polls. Overrated according to who? Or compared to what?
So you're telling me Brandon Pettigrew's not overrated?
I said he's overvalued. I think
it's the same thing. Because if you're paying a guy that amount of money, you're saying that, okay, he's very valued to this team. We believe that he's at least an average player. I don't even think Brandon Pettigrew is average. He's definitely below average. I mean, how many times did we watch Brandon Pettigrew last season? Drop balls, fumble balls, just it was ridiculous. I don't even know if the man even knows how to run a route or even block. It's ridiculous. Brandon Pettigrew's terrible.
We'll have to research some other players that also make $18 million in 4 years.
I tell you what,
I guarantee you, like you said, I think you're right that the players that compare to him are probably much better and are more productive than he is.
Way more. I mean, it is alarming, Alex. And, you know, I definitely agree. Brandon Pettigrew needs to be on that list, but I don't know if Nick Fairley needs to be on that list. I know Nick, you know, had kind of a subpar year last year. You know, if you look at it, you know, Fairley, he had 6 sacks, 14 quarterback hits, 21 QB hurries. Those aren't bad numbers. Those aren't bad numbers at all. But the thing is, Fairley, I mean, he definitely got into it with the coaching staff and had some discrepancies that had to do a lot with his weight issues last season. And, you know, this is something that general manager Martin Mayhew brought up around, the last time. And, you know, when they were thinking about possibly extending the contract for Nick Fairley. And, of course, you know, we all know what ensued with that. I mean, they kind of debated about it at first. But it's because they didn't know how committed Fairley was to this program and how committed he was to getting better. The weight issues were certainly alarming. But the proof is in the pudding. His numbers have steadily increased from year to year to year. So I don't know if he should be on the all-overrated team. I think he has a high upside. I think Nick Fairley will bring it to the table this year. And he's shown that he's been relatively consistent throughout his first 3 years here with the team.
Yeah, and the thing about Fairley also is this guy gets doubled on the line so much, and same with Sue.
I mean,
teams have very distinct and innovative game plans to put two or three, or sometimes three linemen on Sue or Fairley.
Right.
Especially when you're running three in the middle or three up front on the line. I mean, that's so hard to rack up stats to begin with. So, you know, teams naturally have game plans for these guys up front. He might be limited with stats, but you could also make the same argument that Pettigrew might be limited because of Calvin Johnson, but as you know now, I actually just read they had a whole article on it. I think it was in Sports on ESPN the magazine. The teams are drafting all these specific game plans for Calvin Johnson now, and how hard it is to guard him.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
both may be skewed, and you can always throw the excuse. But I agree, especially Pettigrew for $18 million. I mean, what else can you get for? You can get a pretty decent cornerback with the Lions need for $18 million.
Yeah. Exactly. So you pretty much agree. Do you think the Phillies gonna have a better year?
Correct.
Pettigrew deserves to be on that list though. And you know, it's funny. I was reading a report about when the Lions had their first scrimmage this season, and up until and throughout practice, they had about three or four scrimmages before this moment. And Matthew Stafford hadn't thrown an interception, right? So, I was reading an article on it. The very first interception that Matthew Stafford threw in his scrimmage was to guess who? Guess who was it? Guess. Take a guess.
First interception, you said?
His first interception that he threw in his scrimmage for the Lions.
Nick Fairley?
No, it was thrown to Brandon Pettigrew. It bounced
off. Who he threw it to?
Yeah, who he threw it to. It bounced right off of Brandon Pettigrew's hands and fell right into the hands of a corner. And took it to the house for a touchdown. Mm. I'm sitting there like, yep, I don't know, 4 years, $18 million. He needs to be off the team. So I definitely agree, though. That's definitely a very insightful piece, though. Again, that's Doug Farrar's All Overrated Teams. You can check that out by going to SI.com. A great piece, interesting piece, and some other interesting players on that list as well. All right, well, let's hit the second break, Alex. When we come back, we'll wrap up our show by taking a look back Reflection Friday and give you our favorite stories of the week. We'll also talk about Johnny Football being just a little late and also Tony Stewart pulling out of the MIS this weekend. So you don't want to miss any of that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Pretty cool. Yeah, I don't know if you saw the video, Alex. I posted it on my Instagram page. Again, if you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm everywhere. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on everything, man. But yeah, I was on Instagram and I posted a video of Tom Izzo, as you talked about in our headliners, doing the ice bucket challenge for the disease ALS, of course, to raise money for it.
Right.
There's so many people just doing this. I don't know. I was watching last night, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon and the Roots, they did it. The New York Jets have done it. Justin Timberlake has done it. I mean, everybody is embracing this. You even had a lot of members of the MSU football team doing it. Connor Cook and so on and so forth. So many are embracing this really, really fun challenge. That supports a very, very cool cause, of course, ALS donations.
And Izzo's Ice Bucket Challenge,
yeah.
I mean, they dumped a full Gatorade thing on him. This wasn't a little bit of a bucket. I mean, this was a full-blown cooler, Al.
Yeah, I even saw the NFL team for ESPN do it with Chris Carter and Mike Ditka and so on and so forth, and Chris Carter kind of cheated. He dumped the bucket in back of him and kind of act like he just got showered with a bunch of water. It was pretty funny stuff, but everybody's doing it. And, looking at the numbers here, I just want to bring this up because I think, this is an outstanding cause. They actually did the ice bucket challenge. It's been going on for a while. It was done last year, but it's really taking headway due to social media this year. And it is brought in $7.6 million in ALS donations last year. Get this. Last year, only $1.4 million, which is still a lot of money. I mean, it's in the millions, but $1.4 million was raised last year. They've already eclipsed that, pretty much doubled it to $7.6 million so far this year. That's incredible stuff. Hats off to everybody embracing that.
Wish I actually saw it on the basketball court, though. I thought that would have been great. Izzo just on the court at Breslin getting it.
That probably would have messed up the hardwood just a little bit, I think.
Hey, but it won't be as bad as UCLA's court. Let's look at that one.
Exactly. That's very, very true. Okay. All right, folks. Well, 10 minutes left. Let's dive into Reflection Friday here, Alex. Reflection Friday, where we kind of take a look back at this week. It's such a busy, busy week in the world of sports. So many stories, so many guests throughout here on the show. What has been your favorite sports story or moment here on Current Sports, Alex?
Got a couple, man. First off, it has to be Carlton Valentine coming back to coach over with the Big Reds. I mean, he cited the reasons because he wanted to spend time with his sons. And even, he's trying to do it all. He's Superman, as you said.
Yeah.
Trying to do it all. Still going to Orlando to watch Denzel and a lot of the guys. So the fact that he could come back again, it shows what the effect he had on that school. The fact that they asked him back, although he took time for family time, because that's a lot of nerve to, if you're Lansing Sexton, Carlton stepped back because, you know, he wanted to spend time with his family. It looked like he was done. But with them knowing that, to go back and ask, you might think, all right, well, maybe they're desperate. But no, I mean, they just knew that Carlton was the guy, and he commands respect.
Yeah,
Sexton.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I can't wait to see the type of success that he has this upcoming basketball season, too. And, you know, it's great having him at the beginning of the week on the show.
I was shocked to hear that he's coming back.
Yeah, I was. I think everybody was because, you know, he was so adamant in spending time with his family, taking this time to go out and see Denzel and Drew, which he will still be doing as well. But he really got to spend a lot of time with his family, and I thought he was pretty much sold on that idea. And he was also still coaching. He got to coach his AAU team in the summertime. So he was still kind of feeding that niche, I guess you can say, to a certain degree, but he just really thirsted and really wanted to get back to that program and coach them again.
Right.
So I'm really excited to see the type of success he has.
How about you? What was your favorite moment?
Oh, I have a few here. Bear with me here, Alex. Well, first, one took place this morning as we took the links.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we went out to Grosbeck Golf Course, ladies and gents, and yeah, I pulled out another win on the back nine. We bet the back nine again. But, you know, it was different this year because we actually had – well, this time, I should say, because we actually had – it was a threesome this time. And we had your outstanding – it was great meeting him, too. Eric, your roommate.
Right, right.
And he came out with us, and he beat us both. He beat me by two strokes, and I topped you by a few strokes. It was a fun time. No, see, that was fun getting out on the links. And, well, I guess we both of us are steadily getting better.
Getting better, yeah. Last time you beat me by nine strokes in the back nine. This time it was only three.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
Clawing
yeah.
up there, Al Woods. You better look out.
Hey, I'm watching my rearview mirror still. Yeah. So, all right, well, that was a fun time. So that was one of them. You getting yelled at by Mark D'Antonio. Yeah, that was pretty funny stuff. Folks, if you didn't hear about that story, was that yesterday it took place? We
yesterday.
Played that night? Yeah, Alex was, you know, there's a lot of restrictions when you go and cover MSU football, when you go out and film practice. But they give us a lot of access that a lot of schools don't get. We really appreciate it. We love that type of stuff. But there's certain things you can and can't film during an MSU football practice. Sometimes you can't film the offense because they're going through certain drills and certain plays that they don't want to get out to everybody. So there happened to be a certain period where the offense was practicing and Alex didn't hear the horn that says, "Hey, media, you can't film the offense." And Alex, well, I believe you got a nice shot of Tyler O'Connor throwing the football around a little bit, and all of a sudden you hear D'Antonio just bust his – I mean, he just goes nuts.
I got a couple of nice shots. They were running some plays.
Yeah, yeah. D'Antonio
plays,
lost his mind. No, he's like, "Hey, no cameras over here. Hey, no cameras over here." And it just everybody turns around, and yeah, and Alex just says, "Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to." So that was pretty funny. That was a funny moment.
That
we actually
good.
Played that by. We have the audio of D'Antonio yelling at you on yesterday's show. That's funny stuff. And also, Terry Fitzwater, who is the publisher of the Midwest Racing Scene, which is an outstanding racing publication. But we had Terry Fitzwater on the show to talk about this Tony Stewart and Kevin Ward Jr. story. Of course, Tony Stewart hitting Kevin Ward Jr. and Kevin Ward passing away, sadly. His funeral was yesterday. And NASCAR, as I talked about after our Quicken Headliners, NASCAR has decided to invoke now a rule change that nobody, no racer or crew member, can enter the field of racing, period. I mean, you can't get out of your car if you know, if you're angry or something like that. You cannot get out of your car during a race because it is just entirely too dangerous. So NASCAR is now implementing this rule. We'll see it in effect for the first time at Michigan International Speedway this weekend. I think it was this rule change is certainly long overdue, but Terry gave some great insight into the culture that has been going on in the world of racing when it comes to upset drivers getting upset. And how many times have we seen it? You know, a driver gets hit or has a dispute with a certain driver, decides to get out of his car as cars are speeding by at who knows what, you know, at ungodly miles per hour. And, you know, he gets out of the car and starts pointing fingers. I mean, that's entirely too dangerous. A situation like this has happened before. But the fact that it's Tony Stewart involved on this, I mean, it really invoked a change.
Yeah.
And Terry gave some great insight as to, you know, how this has been going on for years and not just this one incident.
Years. And the fact that, I don't know if you heard this morning, NASCAR is already getting rules on it. They're already looking at the situation, making some changes. They're debating now if they should allow people, drivers to get out of the car. So this, as of this morning, they're already taking a stance on it a little bit.
Well, they've like I said, this morning they already invoked the rule change. Right now, as of right now, NASCAR has implemented a rule that prohibits drivers from doing that. They cannot.
Oh, it's permanent? I thought they were
it's permanent. It's Rule 9-16. It says during an event, if a car is involved in an on-track incident and or is stopped or near the racing surface and unable to continue to make forward progress unless it's situating emergency conditions such as fire, smoke in cockpit, etc., the driver should take the following steps. And they outline everything. Shut off your power. Do not loosen or disconnect any driver personnel. And you cannot exit the car at all. If you are, you will be punished. You will now be punished by NASCAR if you do that. So it's official now. Again, it's Rule 9-16. So it's in the books now.
Great. And, you know, if it comes to someone's life, I'd hope that they'd have a rule book or any kind of rule like that. So
exactly. All right. Well, only 4 minutes left. Alex, you are leaving us this next week, aren't you? Where are you going, man?
Taking a little vacation, going out to Los Angeles, California.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Home of the Spartan Rose Bowl in Pasadena, just a couple miles up the road.
Right.
Home of the Spartan Rose Bowl championship game. But yeah, going to Los Angeles, seeing some friends this week. Maybe try to catch a Dodger game here and there. We'll see what happens.
Well, have fun, my man. Yeah. I mean, you're a hardworking brother. You do some outstanding work here on the show. You deserve a week off. We'll catch you in 2 weeks then.
Yeah.
I'll be back in the saddle next week, folks. You don't want to miss any of our current sports shows next week.
Tell the listeners about Monday. What's going on Monday?
Yeah, Monday we're having a best of show. So if you missed any of what we talked about, if you missed the Carlton Valentine interview or Terry Fitzwater, even when I sat down with Tom Shanahan, who was an MSU journalism alumni, who has this unbelievable book out entitled Ray of Light, where he looks back at the Duffy Daughtry era and Duffy and how instrumental he was in really integrating the game of college football. He has an interesting take on it. That interview will be played. Also, we'll talk about the popularity of golf and so on and so forth. Again, if you missed any of that, we have our best of show on Monday. You don't want to miss any of that. And also, if you want to be a part of the Current Sports TV live studio audience next week, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Audience shows up at 9:30 a.m. right at the WKR TV studios right here on the campus of Michigan State University. You can do so by signing up online for free at WKR.org. I'm excited. I'll be sitting down with Sue Carter, who is now the MSU athletic representative for the NCAA. How about that? That's impressive stuff. So I'll be chatting with Sue about that. That should be exciting.
Yeah, and Sue, I know, you know, a journalism professor here at Michigan State University, has written tons of different books, a fellow sports broadcaster like you, Al. So yeah, great to see her. You know, she'll be going to all the conferences and maybe having some insight on some of the rules that they make. Maybe with the Big Ten Power Conference now, I wonder how that's going to change. Maybe you'll ask her about it. Is it going to be the NCAA, are you still serving since the Big Ten separated? How's that going to work?
I certainly will be picking her brain about that and also about, you know, possibly college athletes getting paid. That's always a hot-button topic in the Ed O'Bannon case and unionizing in college athletics. So it's going to be an exciting episode. Again, if you want to sit down and enjoy the, sitting in the live audience and get a chance to meet Sue and I, you can do so by signing up online for free at WKAR.org. That's Current Sports TV. Next week, Wednesday, again at 10 a.m. All right, well, we are out of time, ladies and gents. Want to thank you all so much for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Shout out to Julius Edwards, the new head coach for the Lansing Eastern Boys basketball team. It was fantastic chatting with him today. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic and safe weekend. And hey, be easy, people.